Thank you, Lawrence. We're very happy to be collaborating with you on this intense, huge space, which hopefully will fill with a lot of discussion. We're going to do this, and I hope you allow us for a bit of 25 minutes to half an hour after every paper, so we're hoping to have more of a discussion. To welcome you on behalf of the Centre, President Jean-Marc Jurgen Vosper, to a conference that probably has as long a title as you'd like it to get. It's a kind of enigmatic notebook entry of the title. We've compensated for this rather sprawling title by giving each of our speakers extremely short conference titles. He just allocated the name of a particular concept. What I thought I would just do to begin with, just for 10 minutes, given the perhaps and hopefully slightly mysterious nature of the concept of transdisciplinarity, let's just say something about the context of the conference and the thinking behind the event and the thinking about this notion of transdisciplinarity. The context is twofold, really, or rather, the context is the convergence of two initially independent research streams. The ongoing work on contemporary French philosophy in the centre, which in a way has come to focus particularly on post-68 French philosophy, or at least what Eric likes to think of as post-68 French philosophy, probably has really persuaded us to do that. Separate from that is a development project on transdisciplinarity in general, not just specifically in French thought. And so this conference is, if you like, a point of convergence between these two strands and the beginning of a more general project on transdisciplinarity, which will also, for example, involve in its next stage a conference on transdisciplinarity in German thought. So that there's a wider context. So I should say, make it clear at the outset, it should already be clear in a way to you. Obviously, the concept of transdisciplinarity is not part of an explicit discourse or the subconsciousness of post-war French thought. So in a sense, we're importing it from outside as an operator or interpretive device to problematize and to help us rethink some of the basic tendencies in French thought since the 50s. Structuralism, of course, which there'll be some discussion in both days, the relationship between structuralism and post-structuralism, people might think of as being at the crux of this this period, but also existentialism, which I think it's increasingly clear is by no means as philosophically a redundant tendency as it was briefly thought to be in the 60s and early 70s. And also other theoretical tendencies that don't fit into these rather neat interpretive boxes. And particularly and most importantly, including the increasingly repressed legacy of historical materialism as the background transdisciplinary space for all of this thought, the kind of the dominance of Marxism in this period as an intellectual culture was in some sense so complete as to be at times not necessarily marked in such a way that retrospectively it's having a tendency to disappear. And one of the things that the concept of transdisciplinarity does is raise the question of the unity of these different discourses, which in a sense I think was for a certain period of French thought assumed because it took place within the Marxist intellectual culture. So transdisciplinarity is a concept that's being imported into this history. But it's not wholly external to the theoretical history. Since as soon as you construct the concept of transdisciplinarity, even in a kind of rudimentary form, the process and practices to which it refers become quite readily detectable. They become quite visible within this period, particularly, as I say, within structuralism. But it does have a certain exteriority, and hopefully this exteriority can be used to apply productively and critically in relation to some of the more received narratives about post-war French theology. So I'm just going to say something briefly, a little bit more about this term, transdisciplinary narrative, and also to say something about what we don't mean by it, because there is an existing discourse of transdisciplinary narrative, which is highly problematic, and I just want to mark our distance from that discourse. Then the work that we've started to do in relation to this notion of transdisciplinarity, the concept really has a dual reference. It has a reference, which is a primary reference for us in terms of the German critical philosophical tradition, and it has a more recent social scientific methodological reference. In the German context, in a way, it's the outcome of a certain post-Hegelian tradition that is materialist in inspiration, historically, not necessarily in result, within which the notion appears as a way of thinking the conceptual space opened up by the critique of the self-sufficiency of the disciplinary concept of philosophy. So in other words, a universalizing conceptual movement that recognizes, in a way that's classic in associated with Marxism, that the idea of philosophy is not realizing within the disciplinary concept of philosophy. That, in some sense, the disciplinary concepts of philosophy contradict the very idea of philosophical universality. And the notion of transdisciplinarity is one way of approaching that contradiction. So it's internal to a certain philosophical reflection on the limits of philosophy. It's internal to the self-criticism of philosophy, and in a manner that opens philosophical discourse up to the claims of other discourse. And in the German tradition, I think it's probably Walter Benjamin who represents like the paradigm of that move. A move that was described by Adorno in his essay Benjamin from the 50s as philosophizing beyond philosophy. So from the standpoint of approaching transdisciplinarity from the standpoint of philosophy, transdisciplinarity appears as the consequence of the necessity for philosophy to philosophize beyond itself. In this respect, transdisciplinarity has a paradoxically privileged relationship to philosophy. One of the things that hopefully will come up over the course of the next 2 days is quite what the relationship between transdisciplinarity and philosophy is. Does philosophy actually have a privileged relation to that relation or not? And anyway, in any case, as I said, it's something which is visible within certain dynamics of French thought, particularly explicitly in the transcendental dimension of structuralism, which I think we will discuss, but also in other respects. So that's the, like, the philosophical trajectory we're interested in. We have to acknowledge the existence of something below for the term of transdisciplinarity in a rather more deathly fashion. Current methodological debates within science and technology studies, and also within education studies. Now, in those contexts, it's, I think, quite reasonably being developed as a way of escaping the limitations of established concepts of interdisciplinarity and multidisciplinarity. And interdisciplinarity and multidisciplinarity become, you know, the multiple choice boxes to anybody in the UK in arts and humanities who's ever filled in a grant application. In this respect, interdisciplinarity and transdisciplinarity have become categories of bureaucratic categories of the administration, state administration of knowledge. If you apply for a grant with the HRC, you have to first say whether your project is interdisciplinary, by which they mean whether you, as a researcher, will use the methods of and then you have to say whether it's multidisciplinary, which is understood as employing researchers from different disciplines. So it's a very narrow, bureaucratic, dramatic meaning. Transdisciplinarity is in some ways an advance in relation to those concepts of interdisciplinarity and multidisciplinarity. But transdisciplinarity, in the moment of, if you like, criticizing those categories, has itself, of course, immediately become subject to a bureaucratic straitjacket of its own. Now, it's an advance, still, I think, insofar as in this context. It's a form of advance because it denotes a kind of conceptual movement across fields, rather than simply the idea that something happens between them or might happen between them. or that you should multiply your disciplinary approaches. And it's also an advance in some respects philosophically. Insofar as the source of the transdisciplinary dynamic is associated in this literature with a certain pragmatism, although not a philosophically sophisticated one, insofar as the source of transdisciplinary dynamics are identified with processes of problem solving that ultimately relate to the kind of problems of everyday life and experience. The administrative straitjacket that's been put on the concept of transdisciplinarity in this context, though, is that insofar as this process of problem solving is recognized, it's then reduced to a relationship essentially between a policy-based reformulation of problems and a technological approach to their solution. And in education studies, it's currently the place where the concept of transdisciplinarity is most focused. And it's symptomatic that it began there as a way of thinking the concept of lifelong learning. And what's interesting about the concept of lifelong learning is that in the course of the current Labour government, in a way this is a kind of allegory of the politics of Labour Party in Britain, the concept of lifelong learning has morphed into the concept of what is now called work-based learning. And in a way that's a whole history of the Labour Party over the last 15 years in that transposition. And the concept of transdisciplinarity, which emerged in a way a slightly productive moment when people started talking about education in terms of lifelong learning, is now subjected to the problematic of the bureaucratic organisation of knowledges within something called work-based learning. In a more academic context, in a way this is summed up by the person who was maybe the most influential things about this, was Helga Nowotny, and a number of her associates who published a lot of work on what they now call mode 2 knowledge production. This gives you just a sense of the tone of what's happened to the concept of transdisciplinarity in that context. So the social organization of knowledge becomes a bureaucratic issue. And of course that's also related to the current reorganization of academic knowledges in British universities along corporate managerial lines. And there are a number of pragmatic issues underlying this, I think you're as the bad concept of transdisciplinarity. My fondness for the middle period Lukács insists that I have good and bad concepts of transdisciplinarity. To clarify that relation. In the context of French and German critical tradition, philosophical traditions and their Anglophone reception, which is of course what we're talking about, it's not really interdisciplinarity or multidisciplinarity to which transdisciplinarity is opposed, at least not in the way that Eric and myself and Stella have started to think about it. It's rather a conceptual pairing of what I like to think of as hegemonic disciplinarity on the one hand and anti-disciplinarity on the other. But all of the productive transdisciplinary dynamics of a lot of the post-60s thought are really about the relationship between hegemonic disciplinarity, particularly English and comparative literature in the Anglo-American sphere, such that European philosophy is internalized in comparative literature to English and America. And also, perhaps most productively, the notion of anti-disciplinarity. And in a way, the reception of French thought into the Anglophone Academy in the 60s and 70s was primarily exciting for people because of its anti-disciplinary dimension, because these were texts that could not be assigned disciplines. They were kind of rogue texts that did not fit into the academic organization of knowledge. And in a way, you can trace this dynamic between hegemonic and anti-disciplinarity. And it's really possible, I think, all the way back in a way to Kant's conflict of the faculties. So in a way, I think there are two traditions here. One that begins with Kant's conflict of the faculties, which is a way of thinking about knowledge, which is what we're interested in. And the other is this recent bureaucratic reorganization of knowledge, which is, of course, what we are subjected to in our everyday academic lives. And in this context, the notion of transdisciplinarity is not so much an essential product of addressing problems defined as policy challenges available to technological solutions, but rather of addressing problems that are culturally and politically defined in such a way as to become amenable to theoretical reformulations which hold the hope, perhaps on occasions illusory, of having or being conditions of more radical forms of political rights. So in a way, what I'm thinking of as bad transdisciplinarity works on the axis of policy and technology. And what I'm thinking of as good transdisciplinarity works on the axis of the relationship between politics and theory, which is, of course, in a way that the basic dynamic of sort of French thought. So, to put it dialectically, this emergent sociological discourse is basically positive normalization, whereas the more philosophical critical discourse is problematizing. And the conceit around which we've organized this conference is that we might get some insight into the problematizing function of the notion of transdisciplinarity if we ask people to reflect upon the generalizing dynamics of specific concepts. And the idea is not that we might find some model underlying all these things, but rather to think about the way in which different contexts have been generalized in a transdisciplinary way, in a different. In other words, what is the distribution of the plurality of modes of transdisciplinarity that is at stake in this particular intellectual history? And so we're taking it from context, from structure to rhizomes. We've ended up with 9 concepts. We had 10. Unfortunately, we lost writing, which is very unfortunate, because we lost Tom Conway later on in this process, who's unable to participate. Because writing was obviously a really history, particularly in its reception in Britain and America. We've got 9, you can make a different list. We're not saying these are the 9, we're saying these are some of the most important concepts. And obviously, there's a historical logic in positive field from structure to rhizome, or more broadly, from the beginning of the conference, from structure to sex, that's to say, from Levi-Strauss and Beauvoir, essentially, in the 40s, early 50s, to rhizome and network, to Guattari, Deleuze, and Latour in the 80s. But we do not intend this like as a narrative progression, but rather to take these as, if you like, endpoints or conceptually oppositional points that mark certain process that is not narratable as progress as such. Okay, and now at this point, what's on the to introduce our first speaker, Etienne Balobat, who will be